We have a Savior, but I want to know, want you to know that 2,000 years removed from his birth, that wise men still seek Jesus. Now, I don't know where you are in your walk today, and if you are like me, I've been a Christian for a number of years, but in my life, I can get so busy doing all kinds of good things that sometimes I can easily neglect the Savior that we have. And so I have to remind myself that if I'm wise in doing all of the things that I want to do and accomplish, that wise men still find and seek Jesus. Would you turn with me to the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the second chapter, and we will read the first 12 verses. And I'm wondering if you wouldn't mind reading for us this morning. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. Have no sound guy. Nolan.
After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. They opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Amen. This is my Bible. It is the unadulterated, inspired, authoritative, the word of God for my life. I will read it slowly. I will read it prayerfully. I will read it carefully. I will abide by its precepts. I will live by its principles. And I will stand on its promises. I declare it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, you know, there are only so many passages in the Bible that speaks about Christmas and the birth of Christ. And so one has to be creative after preaching for a number of years because you become familiar with the stories that are recorded in Scripture. And so today I believe that I want to pull out some nuggets that's in the text that is not just going to tell us about the birth of Jesus, but we see some principles recorded in Scripture that I believe if we who are 2,000 years removed would emulate these principles in our lives today, I believe we will see transformation and change in us and in our churches. And so, when Jesus was born, we know from scriptures that wise men went looking for him and they found him. This morning, I would like for us to focus our attention, as we have read, on Matthew's account, as the other Gospels have different accounts, of the wise men who found our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And as this Christmas season is upon us, I want to challenge you to emulate, adopt, pick out, model some of the principles, examples that we see in our text today. In terms of context, we don't know exactly where these wise men came from, but it is suspected that they came from Babylon. The text just says they came from the east. We don't know exactly how many wise men came. We know that three gifts were presented. Three gifts were presented: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But we don't have any indication that three men brought those. It could have been two men that brought them, or six men that brought three gifts. So we don't know how many wise men, but we know wise men came. The text tells us that it's plural. When we look at the Greek word, we can see that. We don't know exactly when they arrived. Some people would like to tell you that they arrived shortly after Jesus was born. But if you read the text following, when Herod discovered that he was tricked by the wise men and he wanted to find Jesus, and so he ordered that all the boy babies 2 years and under be destroyed, be killed. Well, if Jesus was only 6 months old, why order all the boy babies from 2 years and under to be killed? So we suspect that Jesus was approximately around the 2 years old mark when he was found by the wise men. And that is in your text. If you want to find the exact word, look at verse 16, I believe it is, and it will tell you that Herod ordered all the boy babies to be killed who were 2 years and under. If Jesus was just a few days old, there would be no need to go to that high of an age limit. But I believe he was closer to the age of two. Now, we don't know exactly how they knew that the star that they saw in the east signaled the birth of Jesus, but somehow they knew, either through divine revelation or somebody told them about it, but the information was given to them, and they knew that they were to follow this star. We don't know. What we do know is that these wise men, regardless of all the unknowns in the passage, we know that they were wise enough to find Jesus. And regardless of if we're able to answer all of the questions of life, we ought to be wise enough to find Jesus. Because one day without Jesus is one day too many. And a wise man will find Jesus. And we don't know, and we do know that the wise men, we know today that wise men still find and seek Jesus. And we know that those who seek him will find him. Jeremiah 29:13. These wise men present what it means to make a concerted effort to truly seek, to truly worship, and truly obey our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so it is with this thought in mind that this morning I want to challenge you to emulate the example found in Scripture set before us by the wise men. If you would consider yourself to be a wise person today, I want to tell you that a wise man or woman is one who continuously seeks the Lord. So if you will consider yourself to be wise and you don't have a prayer life, or you have a 30-second prayer life just before you think you're going to slam into the back of the car in front of you, or if you read the scriptures only when I present it to the screen, on the screen on Sunday morning, that will tell me that you're not very wise, because wise men seek Jesus regularly. Wise men seek Jesus regularly. It's quiet in here today. All right, so you get excited when I give you all the gravy stuff. but it's all good. Wise men still seek Jesus. And in our text in verses 1 to 5, they sought after God in the flesh. Verses 2 to 5. Verses chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. Well, how did they do that? They did that by following his star. What the star did for these wise men was that it captured their attention to the point that they could not resist its attraction. These wise men were said to have been well educated in philosophy and medicine and natural science. But God used a sign, he used a star to get their attention. And as the wise men followed Jesus, to follow the star, they were led to where this baby was or where the child was. Let me pause there for just a little bit and share some things with you. God will often use a sign in your life to get you to go to a place that he wants you to get to. He doesn't always give you all of the instructions at that time. But if you are wise enough, you will follow the leading of the sign. For them, it was a star. But for us today, it can be a number of things. And you have to be wise enough to know that this is the direction that God is leading you in. Think about the wise men for a minute, because we don't often stop and think about this. When you look up into the galaxy, how many millions of stars are they? How would you know which one to follow? Do you think that star that was moving was the only one that was moving on that night? You know, that's the way my brain works. How do you know which star to follow? How do you know which star to follow? With all the millions of stars up there. Down here, you have lots of suggestions. Everybody's telling you which way to go. How do you know which advice to take? How do you know? How do you know? What we see in the text, that these wise men were wise enough to know that they would follow the star, Gina, and in following the star, my mind tells me that they stayed behind the star. Some people want to get to a particular destination, but they go ahead of the star and get mad at the star when life don't work out the way they thought it should work out. Oh, you going to help me this morning or what? They followed the star, which means they stayed behind. And I want to say to you today, if you want to see the manifest power of Jesus materialize in your life, you have to have enough common sense to follow. If you're following, it means that somebody else is leading. And where he leads me, I will follow. There are some folks who are trying to lead Jesus, trying to open doors for themselves and close doors for themselves, and become very disappointed and very frustrated when things don't work out. But I want to say to you today and this Christmas season that if you are wise, you would allow the Spirit of God to lead you, and you would follow wherever he leads. Now, sometimes he takes us into places and to things and to people that we don't like. We don't want to be around. Places we don't want to go. But if he is Jesus, Son of the living God, and he's leading, then wherever he leads, I will follow, regardless of my personal comfort or discomfort. We see in the text that these wise men followed the star. And Gina, my mind works kind of funny. I'm thinking to myself, if I'm following a star and it's ahead of me, am I looking at my circumstances around me? Am I looking backwards? Am I looking to the left or to the right? Am I looking down? Where am I looking? I'm looking ahead. I'm actually looking up. and there's somebody here today who's in some situations, and you got your head bowed down, I want to tell you, lift your head up. Lift your head up. Lift your head up and look at the star. Lift your head up and follow the star. Don't become so consumed with all of the problems in the house and all of the problems on the job and all the financial difficulties and who am I, how many, where am I going to get the money to buy gifts for all of these folks this Christmas and what are we going to do and how are we going to get along? But keep your eyes focused on the star. Because how many of you know, wherever you look, that's where your feet follow. I don't know about you, but I have a bad attitude sometimes. And when I'm driving to look at buildings and I'm going down, the next thing you know, I'm started out going straight, but as I look over there, I'm like, whoa, I got to come back over. Wherever you're focused on, that's where you're going to go. I want to challenge you. Be careful where you're looking. Be careful where you're looking. So we find that these men, as they were traveling, they were looking up to the sky. And you know, there are so many of us today that want the blessings of heaven but refuse to look up to the skies. We become frustrated and disappointed about many things. But I'm here to encourage you to raise your head just a little while and look to the skies and see the star. I don't know about you, but he is my bright and my morning star. He is my lily in my valley when I can't see my way. I wish I had a witness this morning. I'm going to continue to seek him with all of my heart, and I trust you do the same. In verse number 2 of the text, they also followed scripture. When the wise men entered Jerusalem, they asked the question, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? How did they know about the king of the Jews? I believe that it was in the form of written scriptures from the Old Testament. I believe divine revelation from some sort of an angelic being that communicated this to him. But either way, somebody told them about the king of the Jews. I want to say today that we live in an age where people don't talk about the king of the Jews anymore. We talk about Santa Claus. But I want to talk about the Savior. I know what Santa's coming to town down the chimney, but I tell you, my Jesus came and died on a cross for my sins. And I want you to know today that we ought to tell somebody about Jesus, because everybody ought to know who Jesus is. And I want you to know this Christmas season that you ought to take time out and make time to share your faith with someone. Tell somebody about Jesus. Pastor Dan, I believe the challenge with the church today is that we have left personal evangelism for corporate evangelism. So let the church do a big, massive campaign. But when the church started, it was simple men, unlearned men, who went one-on-one and told about the goodness of Jesus, and the kingdom of God began to grow. If we want to see the kind of changes in our world today, we can't wait for Billy Graham's School of Evangelism to put it on television. We can't wait for the Alpha program alone. But you and I need to get serious about our neighbors and our friends that don't know Jesus and tell them about a man who can save anybody regardless of where they've been and what they've done. And unless we get back to that, my friends, we're going to continue to see the struggles and experience the struggles that we're seeing in our churches and in our society today. We must go back to one-on-one evangelism. You can't afford not to tell somebody about Jesus. It is our commission to go and to tell the truth and to preach the gospel to every nation, to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So I want to remind you of these things today. Many of us work with non-believers, and I want to challenge you. You never know what God is doing in their hearts. Share your faith. Someone has to communicate scriptures to them. That is yours and mine responsibility. Number 2, not only we notice in our text that they sought after God, but number 2, they worship. And for the most of us on Sunday mornings, this is not an issue for us. But you have to think of these wise men who I believe were not very religious, but somehow they knew that once they found Jesus, They came prepared to worship. I want to talk to you about coming prepared to worship. The example that we see in the text was that when they found Jesus, they had enough sense to kneel before him. Let's say there were 5 or 6 wise men. I want you to know there were no catchers in that church service. Nobody pushed them backwards. But the text tells me that when they found Jesus, his presence brought them to their knees. Oh, hallelujah, somebody. Once they found Jesus, his presence brought them to their knees. It makes me wonder, why is it today that we come into the presence of God and we wait for somebody to push us backwards and catch us so we don't get hurt on the way down? And we say that's the presence of God. I struggle with some of these things. Now, I understand legalities and people hurting themselves and all of that. But when I read the text, Jean Cecile, there were no catchers there. These men came, and once they found the baby, his presence brought them to their knees. Can I tell you something else? There was no complaint about the bass guitar player. There was no complaint about the drummers being too loud. There was no issues about the worship leader. That song service was not too long. Hello, somebody. They didn't need any music. Because when you are in the presence of God, you don't need anyone or anything else to get you excited about Jesus. When you're in the presence of the King of Kings, even in the form of a baby, you will bow your knees in humble adoration and the praises will come out. Nobody had to tell them to clap their hands, stomp their feet, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. They did it. Can I tell you something else? When we look at the text, you're going to hear it anyhow. When they came to worship, they came prepared, demonstrated in the attitude of their hearts. But you know what, Nolan? They brought something with them. Can I talk to you about coming to church and bringing something with you? We live in a day and age, Sister Elsie, where I hear people come to church. They don't bring nothing with them, but they complain about what the church don't have. Help me, Jesus. They brought, look at your name as a neighbor, they brought something with them. They didn't go just to receive. And true worship is not about receiving, it's about giving. True worship is not about receiving, true worship is about giving. And so they came prepared to give something in an act of worship. This is why when we do offering, we say to you that giving is an act of worship. You are not paying your tithes. It's not a bill. So we ought to stop saying, I have to pay my tithes. No, you pay EPCOR, but you return to God what he give to you. You pay TELUS and you pay Shaw. Those are bills. But you return to God what he's blessed you with. You don't pay your tithes. It's not a bill. They came prepared to give. So New Hope, we can talk about the wise men coming prepared to give. And we can leave it 2,000 years removed, but there's no fun in that. The fun is when you bring it home. So I want to say to you, when you come into a building or any building to worship God, if you identify yourself as a seeker of Jesus and as a wise person, you ought to bring some energy and some fervor and some joy and some rejoicing. But how dare us come in like we've been drinking lemon juice all night and expect somebody else to sweeten us up? You have to come prepared to give something. You can't come and complain about what's not there when you haven't brought anything into the environment. You can't come expecting what you're not willing to develop. So when you come into worship, nobody should have to tell you to get excited about Jesus. If he's your Lord and Savior, you should be on your knees even before the music even begins. We're too cute today. We don't do that no more. But I think if we want to see some change, we've got to go back to what worked and what still works. And that is a broken and a contrite spirit. We're too prideful sometimes. We're too offy sometimes. We ought to get broken and get loose. We sing the song, "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." But I tell you, you know how my heart breaks, Christina? Sunday after Sunday, how we traffic in unlived truth. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom, but yet still, many are sitting in bondage. Trafficking in unlived truth. I surrender all. Trafficking in unlived truth. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Really? Trafficking in unlived truth. So I want to challenge you this Christmas season that wise men seek Jesus. Not only did they sought Jesus, but when they found him, they bowed down and worshiped him. And they brought something into that environment of worship. Now, let's look at what they brought, and let's look at what it symbolizes. The Bible tells us that there were three gifts. And I believe that they bow down and they worship him when they presented their gifts. It tells us that gold was presented. It wasn't leftover spare change from the coin jar. I didn't write it. It's in the text. It's in my Bible, actually. They didn't bring leftover spare change from the coin jar. They brought gold. You know, when I perform weddings, and I ask the wedding, the best man or the bride and groom, what symbol did you bring to seal these vows? And they say, we've got rings. And we always tell them that gold is a precious metal. It is unending and eternal. And what they brought to Jesus cost them something. If worship doesn't cost you anything, it's not worship. It has to cost you something. And so some said that the gifts that were presented symbolizes Jesus' ministry. For example, gold is precious, it is priceless, and it is enduring, it is also eternal. Stick around forever. And Jesus' ministry is precious, priceless, enduring, and eternal. Frankincense was used by the high priest in the temple in worship. And so when they went into the Holy of Holies, they had this, I came out of a Methodist background, and so my father had one of them smoke pots, you know, and he would put that frankincense in there, and he'd be walking down and going that stuff down the aisles with his Methodist religion. I like that thing all the time, smell of the place. Smell nice, you know, but, you know. Okay, spiritual commercial. I'm in the flesh now. When I was a kid, I used to think to myself, you know, what if we took some other substances? I'm a pastor's kid, okay? We could have one Holy Ghost Sunday. Okay, I'm back. Come on. Come on back. Come on. Come on back. Come on back. You know what's scary about that? That I didn't have to spell it out. Most of you got it. Makes me wonder. Most of you are right there with me. I didn't have to tell you anything else. You know where I was going with that. It's a real strange bunch, folks. Anyway, you know, they always talk about trying to get the Spirit in the church. I mean, I thought, man, you know, you been Holy Ghost Sunday. What we see in the text, come on back now, get your minds back with me, come on back. Gold is precious, frankincense. And the high priest would put this in a pot, and he would walk up and down, and the whole place was smelled with this aroma. And as he made intercession for the people on the Day of Atonement, Jesus is our mediator and our high priest, and there is no need for this anymore. And so this was symbolic as well of his ministry as he intercedes for us on behalf of the Father. And then we are told that myrrh was used for anointing the head. John 19:38-40, and Jesus died in order that mankind would have the means of salvation. This gift can be symbolic of his ministry as the Savior of the world, and true worship ought to be focused on Jesus alone. They came to present their gifts and to worship, and in fact, they brought something with them. And I want to say to you, my friends, that worship that doesn't cost you anything is not worship at all. And so when you come to worship, it's going to cost you something. You might have to run around the church to get your freedom, but if that's what you have to do, that's what you have to do. You might have to raise your hands a little bit longer. You might have to cry and make a little bit of noise in the church, but this is a place where you ought to come without judgment and condemnation. I know New Hope. Can I pause there for a little bit? We as a church, I'm not speaking of just New Hope, we haven't done a good job of that. Because when a person comes in and they don't look like us, and they don't smell like us, and they don't behave like us, we are not always that accepting of them. But every person deserves the right to come into the dwelling place of God and worship the way they know how. And so we ought to be mindful of that, because you don't know what they've gone through, and somebody might have to jump before they can get their freedom, and we shouldn't stop them from jumping. And somebody might beat the tambourine a little too hard. You watch church folks get up and move to the other side of the sanctuary. Hey, I'm being real with you. I see it. All right, I see it. I'm just trying to point some things out to us in the text. I got to be creative in the Christmas messages. They obeyed, they came to God and they worshiped him. They bowed down and they brought something to the Lord. Number three, simple message. We're getting out of here today. Verses 11b to 12 tells us that, let's read it for a second. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and incense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Let me talk to you on obeying God today. Can I talk to you about obeying God today? The text tells us that these wise men were confronted in their sleep. Can you imagine? Now, pause with me for just a minute. Let's say there were five guys, or let's say there are three of them sleeping. Angel of the Lord came. God spoke to them in a dream. I'm thinking, what's their first reaction when they get up? Hey, I had a dream. Yeah, I had a dream too. Hey, what's your dream? Only to find out they had the same dream. Because when God is telling you to do something, there's agreement and there's confirmation. God's not going to tell you to tell me something if there's no confirmation. God's not going to tell me to tell you something if there's no confirmation and there's no agreement. Two cannot walk together unless they... What would have happened if one had the dream and two didn't? You ever think about that? So if God is leading us in a particular direction, there has to be agreement and unity and togetherness so we can move forward in the same direction. Wise men received a dream from God. But let me tell you something. Dreams are only one way in which God speaks to us. He speaks to us through various and different ways. Dreams are one of them. He speaks to us through audible voices. He speaks to us through the confirmation of a spoken word. He speaks to us through his word. He speaks to us through his Holy Spirit. He speaks to us through somebody we don't even know, the evangelist, the prophet, the pastor. He can even speak to us through a fool. If we are in tune with the Holy Spirit, we will know that God is speaking to us. So don't limit God from talking to you, because you know what? Truth is truth no matter where it's found. If he can use a jawbone of a donkey, then he can use anybody to speak to you. So make sure that you are in tune with how God is speaking to you. I love the Lord when he speaks to me, especially when I'm speeding. And then something said, you better slow down. And there's that nicely decorated photo radar van. And I was mad the other night because he didn't warn me in time. And as the picture came in the mail, I can see my brake lights are on, but man, I was 11 kilometers over the speed limit already. You know? Sometimes my brain works kind of funny. I wonder what would happen if I stopped and went up to that guy and asked him if he knew the Lord. Because I think those people, I think they need Jesus. I think they're just out to harass people for no real reason. I mean, I'm coming down 76th Avenue. My car, and the speed limit is 40. My car doesn't even start at 40. I mean, I'm at 50 just in second gear. And I got to work hard to maintain 40 kilometers. You know? So I think one day I will stop and ask him about, you know, you need Jesus. He needs Jesus. Hey, Pastor Dan, you're a former police officer. Are actual sworn members work those vans? I just want to make sure I know what I'm up against. Mad. All right, I think I better slow down then. But sometimes I wish God would speak to me more often in those regards, but regardless of the speeding tickets, but God speaks to us in various and different ways, and we've got to be sensitive to what he's saying to us, because, you know, there are a lot of voices out there, and a lot of voices can tell you to do things and confuse you and bring division. The enemy also knows sometimes what we have said. I don't believe the enemy can read our thoughts, but I believe if we speak something out, he can take it and try to twist it and make it work. And so we have to be very careful with that. But God speaks to us in different ways. These wise men, Audrey, they were wise enough to understand the dream, recognize that it is from God, and they followed in faithful obedience. New Hope, we can talk about the wise men and hearing the dream, receiving the dream and following in faithful obedience. But New Hope, can I talk to you a little bit today? There are so many ways that we do not follow in faithful obedience today. Oh man, it's quiet now. There are so many ways that we do not follow in faithful obedience. But yet still we expect the blessings of God. Do you think that's right? Let the boy run, Christina. Leave the kid alone. Come on, Caleb. Have fun, buddy. If you can't have fun in church, where can you have fun?
Amen.
Yeah? Let the man preach. And so, there are some ways that we do not walk in faithful obedience. All right? So, that's my man. Come on, buddy. Yes, right. That's right. Faithful obedience. Come on, preacher. See ya. Psych. Isn't that great to have a small church? You can do that. I mean, if you had 3,000 people, you'd have security personnel and all that kind of stuff. I mean, you couldn't do this kind of stuff, but this is nice. This is nice. You know? Kid ought to be free. All right. Okay, Brian, he's going to get electrocuted now, so you might want to grab him. Good to see you, buddy. They obeyed God by listening to him. Verse number 12. Once the wise men had accomplished their mission, they began their journey home. But before they left, God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod in Jerusalem. God loved them so much that he chose to speak to them, which tells me that when God speaks to us, that he cares for us, he's involved, he's concerned, and he protects, and he still speaks to us today in different ways. They obeyed God, and they took a different way. When I read the text, I got excited, because when you come into the presence of God, and when you have God's instructions, you can't keep going the same way you used to go. Once you have the instructions of God, you've got to go a different way. So it makes me wonder, why is it that people claim to have the words of God, but they still go the same way? All right, let me hit you one time. Okay, big boulder. Tithing. Simple one. We have all kinds of excuses why we wouldn't walk in faithful obedience to the Lord. Not to the church, but to God. But we expect the blessings. All right? And when the wise men received the information from God, they went a different direction. They didn't go back to from where they came. They went a different way. So why is it that the church... I can see all the looks now, man. Oh, boy. Curtis, would you want to start my car for me, please? I'm locked in. Can I just talk to you? I'm not, please, hear my heart. I'm not putting you down. We all do this, right? There are many things that God has asked of us not to do. We know we shouldn't do them, but we still continue them. We continue to walk in willful disobedience when God has told us to go a different way. Why do we do that and still expect God to bless us? We say we're Christians, and the Bible says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves, as some of them are in the habit of doing. And we think if we went to church just Christmas and Easter, that's good enough. And think God is somehow supposed to be happy that we give him 2 Sundays out of the year. Right? We give God a tip. We convince ourselves that it's a tithe, but we expect tithe results. Why do we do that? Why do we do that? When we know what God's word says. Thank God for the wise men, because in their wisdom, they knew what the word of God said in the dream, and they went a different direction. I want to encourage you, New Hope. If you know, we have a saying back home, if you know better, come on, all you West Indian folks, if you know better, all right, so I'm expecting that from you starting tomorrow morning. Starting now. Thanks, Gildia. All right. So we know better. Let's do better. Our churches today in North America are stagnant. Most of the churches have no life in them. All right? And we look and we say, oh, man, the preaching is dull and all that. But folks, let me tell you something. If God's people don't come together and pray, that's your power line. That's your power source. Right? In a church our size, there shouldn't be just 2 or 3 people on a Tuesday night trying to pray. But I keep telling you the same thing over and over and over again. When you come into the knowledge of the Word of God, you have to go a different direction. You can't keep going back to what you know you're not supposed to do. So we don't pray. Many of us don't have a devotional life. Many of us are very angry at God all week. And when we do go to church, we want to have the most spiritual experience. That drives me crazy. I don't understand how someone could expect that. So I want to challenge you from the wise men. They went a different direction. They followed God. They listened. They followed. And when they went a different direction, the Bible tells us in verse number 12 that they received, because of obedience, they were blessed for going a different direction. Let me tell you something. When you follow God, he is going to bless you for doing what's right. There's no way you can follow the Lord leading, follow his word, and then not be blessed for it. Obedience equals blessings. Disobedience, you know what the opposite of blessings are, curses. So my friends, I want to challenge you on this Christmas season that wise men still find and seek Jesus. These wise men were blessed because the text tells us that they were filled with anger. They were filled with what? They were filled with what? They were filled with what?
Joy.
Does anyone know what joy is? Yes. Not who she is, but what joy is.
Yes.
When you've got joy on the inside, there's something different about you. People can tell you've been in the presence of God. And when God is talking to you and giving you instructions, that is a beautiful place. And the Bible said they went away filled with joy. And I want to see God's people filled with joy. We have too many folks who seem to be filled with sorrow. I want you to be filled with joy. But that will only come as you emulate the example that we see in the text. Following God, seeking after, worshiping, obeying. Those are the principles that I want to point out to you that brings the blessings in our lives. And so, you cannot come into the presence of Jesus and still be the same again. Something has to change. Obedience to God means complete surrender to God's will, even if at times it does not make any logical sense. Obedience is complete surrender on His will, which can be difficult to do. But let us seek the Lord like the wise men. Let us obey, worship Him like the wise men. Let us obey Him like the wise men. And you know, I'm going to use my mind just a little bit here. When these wise men went to find Jesus, I don't know how well He was able to talk, but I believe that He was starting to talk and He was probably doing a little ooh, gaga. Probably Caleb's age maybe, and maybe a little older. And I don't know if the wise men understood baby language, but I believe Jesus, you don't think He just laid there and slept, did you? I believe He was trying to have a conversation with them, and I don't know if they understood, but I began to let the mind run just a little bit. And I believe that Jesus was laying there in that little basket or in his crib or wherever He was. And I believe He was saying, wise men, you've come to seek Me and to find Me. I don't know, I don't know if they could understand, but I believe He was talking to them. He said, you've come to seek Me and you've found Me. And you've come to worship Me and obey Me. And I'm so glad about that. You've come and you've brought gifts for Me. And I'm real glad about that. But wise men, before you leave back on your journey for another 2 years, let me tell you what I come to do. You mightn't understand it just yet, but just listen for a little while. And I believe Jesus, in His infant state, said, well, I want you to know that I've come to seek and to save those who are lost, Mr. Wiseman. I've come to save men and women from their sins. Oh, you don't hear me this morning. I've come, Mr. Wiseman, to set the captives free. I've come to give you joy early in the morning. I've come to heal the sick and to deliver the brokenhearted. I've come that those who are blind will one day see again. I've come to give peace for the thousands that are confused. I've come to walk with you and I'll talk with you. And as long as I am your Savior, I will be with you always. You don't hear me? He says, I come to forgive sins. Yeah, I know I'm a baby right now. I've come that you to let you know that I've got all power and all authority in heaven and under heaven. I want you to know that all authority is in my hands, given to me by my Father. Ah, you come to worship me, but I come to tell you that whosoever believes in me will never perish, but have everlasting life. You come to visit me and to find me, but I came to tell you, Mr. Wiseman, that in my Father's house there are many rooms. And if it were not so, I would have told you. But I've come so that I can go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. That's what I come to do. I come to tell you that I'm going to prepare a place for you. Mr. Wise Man, you've come to seek me, and you've come to worship me, and that's all good. You've come to worship me. But I came, Mr. Wiseman, to die for you, that in me you would have life and have it more abundantly. So New Hope, I came by this morning to tell you in the words of Jesus, keep seeking, keep worshiping, keep obeying, and may the rich blessings of heaven be yours this Christmas season and every day of your life. I want you to know that wise men and wise women still seek Jesus. And there's some things in life that people can't help you with. There's some things in life social service can't help you with. There's some things in life the church can't help you with. But if you're in a situation this morning where you don't know where your help is going to come from, I came by to tell you that your help will come from heaven above and come from God Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth. I want you to know this morning that if you seek him with your whole heart, you will find him, because those who seek him find him when they seek him diligently. I want you to know this morning that whatever your circumstances may be, Jesus specializes in things that seem impossible, and he can do what no other power can do. And so my desire for you is to keep holding on to the unchanging hands of God. And as he leads, you follow. As he makes a way out of no way, you follow and see what God will do for you through his son Jesus Christ. Seek him. Wise men, still seek him. Wise women, still seek him. Wise young people, still seek him. Because when you seek him with your whole heart, you will find him. And New Hope, this is a simple message. You're very familiar with the text. I just saw some things in the text that I wanted to encourage you with. And I hope that you would heed the words of the Lord. Take the flesh out of it. Keep the spirit in it. And apply it to your life. This is my hope for you. This is my hope for you. Jesus, the reason for the season. Christine and the praise team, would you come and sing the name of Jesus for us? Jesus, the reason for the season. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Praise his name. Oh, it's your space now. You can have it. So, my friends, I want to speak to you just for a few seconds. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to give you an invitation to come and meet our Savior and allow him to perform his transforming grace in your life. Perhaps you know him, but have not been seeking him, worshiping him, or obeying him. Today is a good day for reconciliation and to start over. I want to give you an opportunity so we can pray with you and pray blessings over you and enable you to start over with your Lord and Savior. Perhaps you've got some other need. We'll certainly love to meet with you. Those are in the praise team, if they would, not the praise team, but the altar ministry team. If they would come, if they're here any today, and just be prepared to meet the needs of those who may come forward at this time. And as the praise team sings, allow these words to saturate your hearts today.
Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord.
The doors of the church are open for you.
God is with us, our blessed Redeemer.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Living Word.
Go ahead, Christina.
Now sing Jesus, Jesus, name above all names. shepherd.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Vine of the bread.